For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Okay, tonight we're looking at Christians should go on to be filled with the Spirit, and that means that we go on after we've been born again to... It's more than just experience, it's to bring out the best that we can be on the earth from what God is doing. You see, we don't just get born again through receiving Christ and then say, well, that's it, I'll just go my own merry way. It's not the case at all. So the doctrine of baptisms in Hebrews 6 verse 2 is very clear. And there are three major baptisms we should be fully aware of and engaged in. The first one is being born again into the body of Christ. And we'll look at that scripture in just a moment. I'll bring it up on the slide here in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13. And then there's water baptism. So the first one's a spiritual baptism. You're being baptized into the body of Christ. Then there's water baptism, which is a physical baptism that's symbolic. And then there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is a spiritual baptism as well. So when we look at being born again, we see in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So we see the word baptized is used here, and we should be very aware that baptism has three components to it. The baptizee, that is the one who is being baptized, the baptizer, the one who is doing the baptism, and the medium into which the baptizee is being brought into. And so baptism, by definition, is a religious immersion. It is not just a dipping. It is certainly not a sprinkling. And so we see very clearly in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, when we are born again, the Spirit of God is the one that baptizes us, that's the we part of it, into the body of Christ. So we come into Christ through this spiritual baptism. And you can see it's clearly different from water baptism, because we're not being baptized into water here, we're baptized into the body of Christ. Now, the doctrine of baptisms is a very crucial doctrine. It's one, though, that people don't seem to fully understand, and so that's why we're going through this. So understand that if we're born again, we have to go through this spiritual baptism, and the Spirit of God is doing the baptizing of the new believer into the body of Christ. If you look at John 1 verse 12, let's go to that, John 1 verse 12, and we see that this baptism is completely different from being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And being baptized in the Holy Ghost is a spiritual baptism, but it is not the same as being born again. So very clearly, if you are to come into the body of Christ, you must be born again, you must be baptized into the body, into one body, as it says there. So we see that John 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, that's received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we see that there is power that comes through receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the power of the Spirit of God in action in the inner man. The Spirit of God is the one that is giving that power for a person to become a son or a daughter of God. And it comes through believing the gospel, believing on the name of Jesus. And if you go across to John 3, you can see very clearly that it is the Spirit of God that is doing this work within a person. This work within a person, you can see that in verse 6, John 3, verse 6. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the first birth. And that which is born of the Spirit, capital S for Spirit, third person of the Trinity, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So it's being born again. And Jesus said in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So a person has to have that power so that they become, in other words, new, they get changed, they become new creatures in Christ, they become the sons of God. So I want you to be very clear that the doctrine of baptisms shows that being born again is completely different from being baptized with the Holy Ghost or baptized in the Holy Ghost. Another word for that is being filled with the Spirit. And it's all often also referred to as receiving the Spirit in all his fullness. So just going back to this table, the second baptism is water baptism, which once you're a believer in Christ, you should go on to be water baptized. I think we're all aware of that. And obviously the baptizee is the believer, and the baptizer is another believer. Usually a minister of God would do that. And the medium into what the baptizee would be baptized into is water. So we see John 3 verse 23 shows about John the Baptist, and it says in John 3 23, and John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. So you see the three components there. John was the baptizer. He was a minister. The Bible calls him a prophet. And he was baptizing where there was much water. Well, you don't need that much water if you're just doing a bit of sprinkling. No, it's baptizing by full immersion into the river there. And they came and they, that is those believing, came and were baptized. So we must be very clear that that is a physical baptism, but it has spiritual meaning to it. So the third type of baptism there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're going to look at Mark 1 verse 8 in a minute. We see there that in this case you have to be a believer to experience this baptism. And the baptizer is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and into the medium of the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God. So in Mark 1:8, it says, this is John speaking, I indeed have baptized you with water, but, so he's referring to another baptism here, he, that's Jesus, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So it's clear that this is also a spiritual baptism, and it follows it certainly follows being born again. Sometimes it precedes being water baptized, but you cannot be filled with the Spirit or baptized with the Holy Ghost without being born again. You must be born again first. So you don't baptize unsaved people in water, and you also don't think that they can be baptized with the Holy Ghost if they're unsaved people. So that's important for us to understand, because if we don't understand these baptisms, you're going to get confused. You're going to think, well, you know, I've had the Spirit of God baptizing me when I was born again. No, that's not correct at all. The Spirit of God baptized you into the body of Christ, but you haven't been baptized into the Spirit of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to have a look at a couple more scriptures. Understanding the doctrine of baptism is very important. If you look at John 7, go across to John 7, verses 38 and 39. When you're born again, a well is put into you. A well, we can call it the well of salvation, has been put into you. And there is water which represents the Spirit of God in there. It's called living water. And John 7, verse 38 and 39 says here, this is Jesus speaking, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. So they go on to receive this. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So he talked about the flowing of rivers of living water in other places, like, for example, in John 4, he talks about the well of salvation, well of living water. So we see here there is the rivers of living water that will start to come out of a person who is filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, or as it says there, receive the Spirit. So often they're used, and they'll use right through the book of Acts, those terms. So understanding the biblical terminology, filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Holy Ghost, receive the Spirit, where rivers of living water is coming out. That's important for us to know. Important for us to know that. You know, there's several reasons are offered by people as to why they don't want to go into this Pentecostal experience of being filled with the Spirit. But, you know, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God doesn't want you ignorant of spiritual things connected with the Spirit of God. Some people say, well, it's strange to any other experience I've ever had. Well, let's have a look at Acts 2. Acts 2. Now, Jesus prophesied in Acts 1, verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then in Acts 2, we'll start from verse 3 and go from 3. Let's go down to verse 8. 3 to 8. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So let's just pause there. These people are believers in Christ. They've come into the upper room, and you can read all about that in Acts chapter 1. And they've been waiting or tarrying for the Spirit of God to come. And that promise of the Spirit coming was called the promise of the Father. And you can read about that, for example, in John 14 and John 16. Where it says that the Father would send the Holy Ghost. So we see they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. It's also known as unknown tongues, unknown to the speaker. So it's the believer that is doing the speaking, and the Spirit of God is giving them utterance or words, as it says there, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5 says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marvelled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" So they knew they were Galileans, we could say uneducated people, but here they were speaking fluently languages that, you know, they couldn't possibly have known in the natural. And it seemed to them, and they were very strange, they were amazed. What were they doing? Well, verse 11 tells us, "Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were praising God in tongues. When they were filled with the Spirit, they were praising God in tongues. And so what you'll find is when people are filled with the Spirit, they will, as an evidence, it's part of the evidence, but they will start to speak with other tongues. They will start to speak, as the Bible says, also in unknown tongues. And it's the Spirit, little s, the born-again Spirit, that is now letting out those living rivers of living water. And it's talking about the power flow in a believer's life as well. So when you start to praise God in other tongues, it's because now you've been filled with the Spirit. Now the Holy Ghost has empowered you, because it says you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, has empowered you now to be able to flow in the Spirit. And one of those ways is to now be able to pray and praise the Lord in tongues. And that's a very important area of prayer. We've talked a fair bit here about that, but we know that it's a very important area of prayer. So even though it's different from other experiences people may have had, it doesn't mean that it's not of God. And when you go right through the book of Acts, you'll see constantly people speaking in tongues, and it talks about them being filled with boldness and filled with the Spirit of God and faith. And so we see that there's a real power switch on to people that are filled with the Spirit. They've now been connected in a way that they weren't connected when they just through being born again. Although being born again is, of course, brings you into the kingdom of God, doesn't it? Brings you into the body of Christ. You have to have that. But to be fully effective in the Christian walk, you want to go forward to be everything God wants you to be. And so in the Pentecostal experience, being filled with the Spirit is very important. Very important. You know, some people say, "I believe it's of the devil." These are ignorant people. Ignorant people. We just saw in Acts 2, verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So who's giving them the words? It's the Spirit of God, isn't it? And as you're open, you open your mouth, you start speaking, and the words will start coming out. If you haven't been filled with the Spirit, come and we'll pray for you. And you can also receive the Spirit of God in his fullness and start speaking in an unknown tongue. Unknown to you, but it might not be unknown to others. So it's obviously not in a language that you have learned, because the Spirit of God is giving the utterance there. But if you have a look at 1 Corinthians 12, we'll look at verses 3 and 4 there. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 3 and 4. You know, one of the things that I've found is that if people are ignorant, then they'll have this fear about it. But if they're taught in the Word of God, They're not going to be ignorant of spiritual things. They're not going to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. They're not going to be ignorant of the baptism in the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Spirit. They're not going to be ignorant of this. Verses 3 and 4 says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Well, we just saw in Acts 2, verse 4, that you are speaking by the Spirit of God if you've been filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. So you're not calling Jesus accursed, okay? So you're speaking in line with the Spirit of God. You're praising the Lord. You're praying to the Lord. And you can see that as the Spirit of God is giving utterance, he's not going to be giving you utterance that is of the devil or at variance to the Word of God. Can everyone see that? He's going to be giving you utterance that is in line with the will of God, in line with the Word of God. Verse 4 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." So the Spirit of God can now work through you, but you've got to be open to it. Verse 1 tells us, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." So, you know, there's some people that get filled with the Spirit and they have this great feeling, and nothing wrong with having a good feeling, and they are speaking in tongues, and then they never do it again. Because they want the feeling to come on them again. But it's not that. It's not that. It's you're not ignorant of what has happened, and you start to speak with other tongues, and of course it's a form of prayer. Let's go across to 1 Corinthians 14, and you can see in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 18 we see that Paul the Apostle is very clear about speaking in tongues is not something that you need to avoid. He says, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all." Well, there's a reason for that. Verse 19, "Yet in the church," so in the church setting, you don't want to be coming out in a tongue, unless, you know, all of us are praying together in tongues. You don't want to come out with another tongue unless there is an interpretation of that tongue. But just go back a little bit further to verse 14. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." So we've already seen that our spirits are empowered. The Holy Ghost gives us the utterance so that we can now pray. "My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Well, your understanding is unfruitful because it's coming out of your spirit. It's not coming out of your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. It's coming out of your spirit. And if your understanding is unfruitful, your mind is unfruitful, you don't know necessarily what you're saying as you're praying, you're just yielding yourself to the Lord and praying in the Spirit. Well, see, that's a great way of praying, because you can pray for things that you don't know about. You can pray for people, and I've done it many times now. Pray for people. You don't know what their situation is, but you can say, "Lord, please use me to pray for such and such." You know their situation. You know what they need. You know how to answer everything and to bring everything around for their good. Use me to pray in the Spirit for them in the name of Jesus. And the Lord will answer that prayer. And you start praying in the Spirit. As you do, sometimes you will have promptings within you, and things will come into your soul about that person or those circumstances or situations you're praying about. So the Lord will show you things to come, as the Bible says. He'll show you things because the Spirit of God is in you. Spirit of God is showing you things. But it's not necessarily the case. You can be praying for quite some time for someone and the Lord can go right deep into that situation and help for that to be completely unlocked and completely opened up. Praise the Lord. So verse 14 says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Verse 15 says, "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." So can you see there that it's an act of the will for you to pray with the spirit? I will pray with the spirit. It's also an act of your will for you to pray with your understanding. So we would pray in English. So it's important for us to pray both in English and in tongues if you've been filled with the Spirit. So you can pray with the understanding, and you should, no doubt about that. It's very easy to pray with the understanding and say, "Lord, I thank you and praise you that you are my strength. You are the strength of my life, and I thank you, Lord, and glorify you." You may have a specific thing you want to pray for, the prayer of petition. You can pray that prayer of petition for something and ask the Father in the name of Jesus, you know, as you have the words and scriptures to back you up. So the Lord wants you to pray both, as it says there, with the Spirit. That's talking about the little s spirit, with your born again spirit, which has been empowered by the Spirit of God, and he gives the utterance. "And I will pray with the understanding also." You know, there's another dimension as well. And there's a dimension of praising the Lord in the Spirit. And you can see that, or certainly an indication of that in verse 15, "I will sing with the Spirit." So there is times when I have been singing in the Spirit, and it's quite an empowering time. And many times when you do that and you're praising the Lord in the Spirit, yes, there'll come feelings of great strength. But even if you don't have those feelings, you're still thanking the Lord and praising him and giving him the praise. This is something you can give, and this is an amazing and wonderful thing. This is something you can give to the Creator, is praise you're just thanking him, thanksgiving. This is something you can give. You're yielding yourself to him. I think that there's many people who haven't tapped into that side of things much. But it's there. "I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." We all know about singing with the understanding. We sing quite a lot of songs here, and that's with the understanding, but you can also sing with the Spirit, all right? And that shouldn't be alien to us. It shouldn't be something that we want to avoid. So, you know, when we are filled with the Spirit, we see that it's nothing to do with the devil. In fact, it bypasses the devil, and it's to do with the utterance, the Spirit of God giving us the utterance and using us and us being yielded to him to be instruments for him. You know, there's another excuse people give as to why they don't want to go on into this Pentecostal experience of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they say, "Well, I've seen bad people professing to speak in tongues. I've seen people that are off the track doing it." Yes, certainly that's the case. You know, we could point to the revivalist cult, for example. We could point to various false prophets in various entertainment groups that do it. We know that that's happening on the earth. But that should not in any way undermine your belief in the true, which is the biblical, okay? And the more you get into the biblical, the more you have understanding of the things of God. Let's look at Ephesians 5, verse 18. You know, we saw in Acts 2, verse 4, that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Now, Ephesians 5 tells us that we should be filled with the Spirit. And verse 18 of Ephesians 5 says, Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And this is important, being filled with the Spirit. So you've got to go on to being filled with the Spirit. And verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, as I mentioned before, you can be giving thanks in the Spirit or with the Spirit, and you can be singing and praising Him with your Spirit. But the thing is, we must be filled with the Spirit. Understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is for us to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible is very clear, and we've just seen it, that if you pray in an unknown tongue, your Spirit prayeth. Now this promise, the promise of the Spirit of God, was not just for the days of the book of Acts. It's right to the end of the world. It's right through history. If you look at Acts 2, we'll look at verse 38 and 39, we see very clearly that that's what God is intending for his church. And we could go on in Acts 2 and onward. But in Acts 2, for example, it talks about that God would pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh and so on. We don't have time to look at that today, but we know that if that's the case, then it's something we need to be part of. Acts 2, looking at verses 38 and 39 here, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So just pause there. So there's the first part, isn't it? Come into Christ, be born again, and then it says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So go on to receive that. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the gospel is for people to come to Christ and then go on to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So God doesn't want his people to be deficient or backwards or, as we said, saw before, ignorant. He wants his people to understand what the will of the Lord is and to operate in that. If you don't believe that you can pray with tongues, then you're missing out, because you're missing out on a whole dimension of prayer. You can also pray for yourself in the Spirit too, because the Bible's very clear that you can edify yourself by praying in the Spirit and by that way of by speaking in tongues. So when Smith Wigglesworth came into this, he was very much first against the baptism of the Holy Ghost, against being filled with the Spirit, because of all those type of reasons that we went through before. But he was wonderfully changed And people can be wonderfully changed. I just want to read a section of what he said in his... This is a sermon that was written down. The Bible Evidence of the Baptism of the Spirit. And this was May 27, 1922. And this is what he said. What had I received? I had received the Bible evidence. This Bible evidence is wonderful to me. I knew I had received the very evidence of the Spirit's incoming that the apostles had received on the day of Pentecost. I knew that everything I had up to that time was in the nature of an anointing, bringing me in line with God in preparation. But now I knew I had the biblical baptism in the Spirit. It had the backing of the Scriptures. You're always right if you have the backing of the Scriptures, and you are never right if you have not a foundation for your testimony in the Word of God. So you can very clearly see that it's the Word of God that will convince people as the Spirit of God reveals things to them. And this is what happened with Smith Wigglesworth. And praise the Lord, you will note that in his ministry he was mightily used of the Lord in a Pentecostal way. So the Spirit of God used him mightily in many ways, and you can, I'm sure, do a bit of research for yourself and understand what had happened there. So people should go on to be filled with the Spirit. We see that people can initially be resistant to that, or they can have a confusion of the doctrine of baptisms and think, oh, well, I was filled with the Spirit when I was born again. Well, we've proven that that's not the case. It's a completely different experience, completely different visitation of the Lord in a believer's life. So if you would like to have prayer tonight, you come on up now as we pray, because the Lord wants you to be filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as well. But if not, that's fine. We'll go on. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you and praise you. We thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we have received the Lord Jesus Christ. We've become the sons of God. We glorify you for that, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the Spirit of God who has been sent. We receive him. We receive him in his fullness. We praise you, Lord. I pray that every single person here be filled with your Spirit. Be filled with your Spirit and with the evidence of speaking with tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you and praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, and thank you. Glory men shakali men labokori endemasa. Sabrabokuru shamandava. Surian labokori ashtukurama. Surabarondavadamasa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would anyone like prayer tonight? Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost? In filling or otherwise. You want prayer for someone?
No. I'd like to give a word.
Matthew wants to give a word. Give us a word, brother.
Okay, so as we were praying just then, Pastor Craig was praying in tongues. It was just something that I thought, and I thought... He was saying if anyone would like to be filled with the Spirit, but God's, it's not a, like an option, it's not like a choice, like God's not just saying, oh, if you like to be filled with the Spirit, it's actually really a command and his will. So there's two things there. It's his will. He wants people filled with the Spirit. It's not just like, you know, as an option there, take it as an additional part of your Christian experience. He wants people to be filled. It's not an option. Also, it's his command. He wants actually people to be filled with the Spirit.
Praise God, yes. Yes. Matthew's absolutely right. You know, we should be understanding the will of God and being filled with the Spirit and going forward in the Lord is something that, sadly, many people have lacked and are lacking. But that's not going to be the case into the future, because God has shown us through his word that there's going to be a great outpouring of his Spirit upon all flesh. Okay? And this is going to be what we're doing here now is teaching and laying a grounding for that. And we can be part of that in the teaching of those that need to know more about this. You know, there's whole denominations who go so far, teach about being born again, and then that's it. Nothing else after that. Well, the Lord wants to break that type of thinking. Glory to God. Glory to God.